Good afternoon. Ugh. So, what a difference a day makes. Again. So, I'm Paul. You probably know me by now. If you don't, I'm Paul. And it is Saturday. It's the 11th of January, 2014. It's about up close to 40 degrees, and it is a mess. I'm looking for a place to walk in my neighborhood, and I really felt the need to get out and get a little exercise, and everything is melting and icy slush. So I'm hoping not to drop my recorder as I go falling, and if I do, I hope I won't ruin it. Yeah, because we had mountains of snow. Wow, what a mess. We had mountains of several feet of snow, and then it was plowed and drifted and piled up along the sidewalk. Whoa! Okay, now I have wet feet. So there's water standing on the sidewalk. The street itself is filled with... It was packed snow that had been packed down and solid iced over for days, and now it's melting slush, but it's very slippery, and now I have wet feet. I don't really have basically settled on sneakers for wearing in the winter almost always. Because in general, I'm just not out that much in wet winter weather. It's usually more, I'd usually rather have the traction. Than the sweaty feet. So I don't really have any appropriate, and even a lot of boots that are supposed to be watertight. I had some nice Merrell boots that I wore for years. And they were sealed with silicone sealant, but every time I would take them out in weather like this, or I was actually walking through water, standing melted snow and slush, it wouldn't really work out very well. They weren't that sealed. And then they would take forever to dry, and if you dry them too hot, the leather kind of cracks. And anyway, it's a huge mess. There is some exposed sidewalk places that were pretty clear. The snow's melted enough to expose the sidewalk. And then every little dip in the sidewalk is filled with water. It's been raining a lot, steadily. Yesterday afternoon and evening it was raining lightly, and so the snow is all now dirty, pockmarked snow. Ugly. It's ugly. So it's almost 40 now. I don't know, this obsession with the weather is relatively recent. I think it's tied into the fact that I started doing these daily walks, or near daily, or Brian Daly. or as daily as I can make them. But I really want to go fast. I really want to like get it up to speed and get like an aerobic walk going. But there's nowhere to walk. There's no safe place where I can walk fast without falling, without sliding. So this may be a truncated walk. Oh God. Wet sneakers. Anyway, so it's I'm glad that it's thawing slowly, but I fear that this will still be too fast for the drainage system, because the ground is maybe frozen, too frozen to accept the water, and it'll all be up to the drains. Our roof is probably suffering because our gutters were totally filled with ice and icicles, and that is covered with a layer of snow, and so when all the snow above it melts, the gutters can't actually carry off water. I'm gonna go stand in the middle of the road here. So that you can hear this. I think that's too heavy for me to lift. But that's a sewer access. Call them a manhole cover, but that's sexist. It's a sewer access cover. Or a service access cover or something. In the middle of the street, in the middle of an intersection. And there's a lot of water running under there. Which is good. I guess it's doing what it should. But I don't want our basement to be flooded is what I'm getting at. I don't want our roof to be destroyed by like refreezing ice getting in under the shingles and into the gutters and the weight of the ice and everything and running into the attic as it could do through the vent, through like the vent holes. There was a bird in a crawl space earlier. I hear them in there sometimes. They can apparently get in from the attic. I think it was a bird. I really want to clean out the crawl spaces in the attic. I think I could... Woo! Oh. That's... unpleasant. I would go down to Court Street and walk down Court Street to my favorite wow, now my feet are freezing. Oh, that's cold. Jesus. It's like one of those pain tests where they dip your hand into water just above freezing as a test of your pain tolerance. It doesn't, it won't freeze, actually freeze your flesh. It won't do any permanent damage to your flesh, but it's very painful. Oh, yeah. They do this in like undergraduate psychology labs to teach you about perception and hypnosis. They get volunteers and they have you hold your hand in this ice water bath and register your pain level, and then they hypnotize you. At least I've seen video of a lab where this was done, hypnotize you and tell you that the water is lukewarm, and they have you put your hand in it and then read off your pain level. And in the first case, the pain was like 8 or 9, because the nerves can't really tell the difference between a cold that's not cold enough to actually freeze your flesh, and at that kind of temperature, they can't really tell the difference very well between cold and heat. So it's a pain that's kind of like burning. And under hypnosis, then, the same subject doing the same thing would undergo the same pain, but report that felt like a 1 or 2, like not painful at all, or 0, I don't know. Well, my feet were just up to a 5. And they have started to warm up a little bit. But what a mess. I have wool socks on, at least. Not very useful. When they're wet. That's the thing about wool. When it gets wet, it still provides some insulation. Whereas cotton, it doesn't. Interesting. I'm walking through a gas station because there's no place on the sidewalk to climb. My feet are soaked. The rest of me is warm. I am going to the music store for a brief. They may not even be open with all this melting. Their basement could be full of water for all I know. But if they are, I'll stop in. Say hi. What a mess. Climbing through snowdrifts. Hey, it's almost aerobic exercise. Okay, so we're continuing on. I did stop in the record store. Used records and tapes. I've gotten to know them over the years, and I find some amazing things. It's kind of like picking through the ruins of Western civilization. No, it's not kind of like it is. It's has a ton of vinyl. I don't have a working record player anymore. Grace wants me to get one. She wants to pick up vinyl records of classical music to use with the kids to teach them about music for part of their homeschooling. But I'm hesitant because I don't want the kids to handle the record player. And we don't have any place we could put it where it's safe. They're just too young to handle. They can run a DVD player or a CD player, but they're just too young to handle a record player without just ruining needles and possibly ruining the machine itself. We're fighting over it. But there's another reason, which is that I'm just, you know, I'm a crazy perfectionist. And I'm super picky about sound. So when I'm thinking about getting a record player to use in the house, I'm looking at, you know, really nice vintage pieces with, you know, monoblock tube amps and things like that. If we're going to go analog, I want a proper sounding analog system. I don't want like a shitty Emerson all-in-one with little 3-inch speakers or She doesn't care, and that's, I have to remind myself, she doesn't care. But I'm so, it's painful for me to hear music that's not reproduced. Well, that is agonizing. I'd rather just not have it on. It's like the music's being tortured. So we have some interesting discs. We have an old console record player. There is a record player in the house. It's an old console record player. And it does work. But someone did some service on it. Grace got someone to do some service on it. And it plays, but the speed is off, and it varies, and the audio is, we have a new needle in it, so I think the needle's okay, but it just sounds awful. It's mushy, and the speed is constantly varying, so that means basically to me every note is out of tune, and the out of tuneness of it is constantly wavering, it's changing, and oh, it makes me want to scream. Just I can't stand to play songs on it. She's like, the kids don't care, and I'm like, yeah, they don't, but you're it's not. If Sam's like me, Sam cares. He doesn't know exactly what he's hearing yet, but I believe that his brain knows that it's not right. Grace can't hear when music is out of tune. She can't hear, like, when a pitch is off. And distortion doesn't really mean much to her. I don't know. We'll find some compromise. We'll find some compromise of like some kind of half decent home stereo, component stereo. I haven't found it yet. Half decent, but still cheap, and cheap enough that if the kids break it, I won't be heartbroken. Oh. Yeah, because vinyl is back in fashion now. And vinyl can sound really good. Vinyl can sound really, really good. The key word there being can. After you've gotten used to listening to 24-bit digital audio through like powered studio monitors, uncompressed, not even MP3, after you've gotten used to that as your like your reference with a subwoofer with really clean, fast tweeters, and a good, you know, reasonably good acoustic absorption to isolate the sound, it's really hard to go back and, like, listen to a cassette on a boombox or a vinyl record on a home system. But it's funny, because some of my best experiences with music were listening to vinyl records. My stepfather had a pretty nice dual turntable, dual brand, not, I don't mean two turntables, and a fairly high-end Fisher receiver. The speakers weren't very good, but I bought a a pair of those yellow covered yellow foam Sennheiser headphones. And by, you know, compared to what I have now, my Audio Technicas or whatnot, they're not the best headphones. They weren't, but they were. They let me hear things, and they were good enough to let me hear a lot of stuff in the music that I never heard before. So I would listen to, I would find records in bargain bins, and one of the records I found in a bargain bin was Fidelity Mobile. Labs recording half-speed mastered Emerson, Lake and Palmer's Pictures at an Exhibition. And half-speed mastering means that the vinyl was, it was the stamper used to make the records was recut from the master tapes by this Fidelity Mobile truck, or I don't know if it was an actual truck, maybe it was, as a limited edition for audiophiles. And half speed means that they played the master tape at half speed and turned the lathe at half speed too, and used like a super powered amplifier to drive the lathe to the cutting head, which, you know, this is what's described on the record sleeve, but you can hear the difference. It's not just snake oil. It was a better sounding record than most records. And, you know, it's a heavyweight, like, I don't know how many grams. Special heavyweight vinyl. And the performance was kind of crazy. It was a live performance of Pictures at an Exhibition, and it's prog rock, and if you don't like that kind of thing, you wouldn't appreciate it at all. But when I was in high school, that was fascinating. Very flashy, you know, kind of thing. But Emerson, Lake and Palmer, the song that I remember most clearly from that album is an acoustic guitar and voice introduction piece or ballad called The Gnome. I love the lyrics to that. I still do. I still can't play it. I'd like to learn how to play it. I've tried to find sheet music for it. And maybe I can work on it again at some point. It doesn't sound out of... I don't believe it's completely out of my reach. I don't think it's literally my reach as far as guitar. But I don't think it is. I think I could learn to play it. There are a lot of classical techniques involved that I... little trills and runs that I have not really... not having studied classical guitar much at all, except for a tiny bit. I haven't really mastered those classical techniques. And it's harder to play than, say, Alex Lifeson's ventures into classical style with, like, The Trees and Bruins Bane and the introduction to A Farewell to Kings and stuff like that, which I can play fairly well. Harder than that, but not out of, I believe within a few months I could get it down. If I really was working on it. So, what am I talking about? Records and tapes. I found a couple of Psychedelic Furs CDs that I think are somewhat scarce. Berlin's album on CD, which I haven't heard in a long time except for the one song, Metro. And I have some of these tracks on a greatest hits or like downloaded individually from iTunes, but the chance to get them in CD quality for like $3, uncompressed quality, I can't really pass that up because these are songs from my childhood. There's also a very interesting and I think scarce disc from Steve Howe. From around 1980, I think. Well, no, the CD was made in the early days of CDs. So, 82 or 83 or something. Made in France. And an album I've never heard of. Material I've never heard of. A solo career I've never really heard of. Anyway, I'm curious. I'm really curious what that sounds like. So, it's Paul. It's actually the same day as it's the melting day. It's Saturday, 11th. I had a few more things to say, and I don't even know if they're valuable or useful. But I feel like I wasn't done. Yeah, we were trying to plan these things to do out. And I'm in the car. I'm just sitting here waiting to start the car and go. I'm going to run some errands to try and get some groceries and road salt. It was such a dark day. A dark, disgusting, wet day. No sun. Not even a little bit. And that just weighs on me. Just like being suffocated. And my mood's just crashing. Completely crashing. I'm getting really anxious. So, we're not going to do any of the stuff we hope to do today. I was angry at Grace, and so we had a chat, that while I was gone, she didn't do we all slept late, but I got up and got a load of dishes on and made breakfast, and then needed to get out for a walk, and, when I got back, she was still in the same spot. Hadn't done any cleanup of anything. And it's unreasonable for me to be angry at her. And I told her that it's not really fair, you know. You're dealing with a baby. But I really found myself wishing you had been able to do some cleanup here. So we talked that out a little bit. But the upshot, also, not everyone who got back to us or we could reach can't babysit. She's stir crazy, too. She really wanted to go to this party. Really, really wanted to go to this party. She's been trying to plan various mom's night out kind of thing, and everything has fallen through because of the weather or people being sick. So she's very disappointed. And our last person, we did have someone who would watch the kids if we took them to her house, but her house is over the river. It's on the other side of town. And we were thinking about the fact that around maybe 8 o'clock tonight or 9 o'clock tonight, all this water on the roads is going to freeze because it's going to get down to 24 or 25 or something like that. And it's going to be very unwise to drive, and especially drive over bridges and stuff like that, and through some of these unplowed side streets on the other side of town. And so we're going to tell her, no, we're going to stay home. So this is it. We didn't get out to see a movie. We didn't get much work done on the house to speak of. I got to walk outside, and Grace didn't even get that. So, and I'm going to be able to have a little errand and get some groceries, a little time to myself. So I should be grateful for that. But she's
bummed. She gets out of the house more than I do during the typical week, but not during this week of three snow days in a row and then record cold. So I wanted to mention one more thing they had at this, or two more things they had at this record store. There was a box that someone had brought in a whole lot of original American Gramophone CD releases of all the Mannheim Steamroller albums. And not just those albums, but all the related stuff by the same guy. Basically everything that guy's released. And it was like, I think it was pretty much everything. It was like 30 CDs. And I just want to mention Mannheim Steamroller because when I was, 12? 14? I was out in Washington State and we were visiting. We had taken a train trip across the country and we were visiting relatives. And we were visiting my great uncle, Bud Frimuth. I think he's my great uncle. And he had a studio in his basement where he produced a Christian radio show called The Open Door. And he used a lot of music in the show legally, like via ASCAP or BMI or however that's done, and used this music. And then each show had a theme, and it was designed to appeal to young people. And they're talking about applying Christian principles to life's trials and tribulations. And somewhere I have some on cassette. I have at least one show on cassette, I think. And I should rip that to digital. I doubt they've survived. But there were, like, all of them. But this was a weekly thing. This is like a 30-minute show. But he had this record library, and he had a 4-track recorder and a mixer in his basement. And he showed me basically how to use that, and I was already very interested at that age in audio and audio equipment. And so I made myself like a compilation mixtapes, and some of the stuff that I was listening to through his studio monitors and was so fascinated with, among those things were Mannheim Steamroller. He let me tape basically as many tapes as I had time to make while we were visiting, which was, a half dozen, I think. Mannheim Steamroller, excerpts from their first couple of Fresh Air albums. It's one guy. I forget his name, Chris something. I could look it up. How sad is that? And I thought that the Fresh Air was just gorgeous and brilliant and fun and exciting. It was really cool instrumental music. Now I don't like it very much. I appreciate how historic it was and how fun it was, but I see it as kitschy and cheesy. And so I just don't like it that much. Yeah, it's like the kitsch of the music world. Maybe that's, I don't know why. I can't appreciate it. Like, even I can't go back and listen to this music with, like, jubilant, uncynical 14-year-old or 12 or 13-year-old ears anymore. I just can't do it. It's kind of like going back and reading these science fiction novels and realizing they're just not as good as I thought they were. And feeling kind of sad about that. But you can't go back and experience, like, the first few minutes of the first Fresh Air album on vinyl for the first time. You can't have that experience again. You just can't. But I still was wondering if I should. They were $5 each, and I was just thinking, wow, should I buy the first three? Because those are the ones I really know. And I doubt if anyone will buy them, so I may. And then the other, of course, the more cynical option would be, ooh, look at these. He's selling this whole set, like 30 CDs, and they're not that common for $5 each. Maybe I should just buy the set and then see if I can sell them on eBay for more. And I bet I could. Honestly, I bet there's someone looking for, especially the non-Fresh Air discs might be more scarce and hard to find. I'm still, it brings back, it tries to get me back to that experience of listening to that Emerson, Lake & Palmer album, to the Gnome, that guitar work, and that beautiful analog recording with all the lovely tube harmonics in place, and hearing that detail, that exquisite detail on the guitar and voice, the natural reverb of the performance space. But you can't go back there. Okay.
Note to self. Deciding not to go out this evening and be driving around on this after it refreezes is a good call. It's a sheet. It is a sheet of ice, a sheet of slush. It's incredibly slippery. So I'm going to be trying to get my errands done as quickly as possible. I'm going to put the truck in four-wheel drive and try to get through this safely. And then we're going to go home. We'll be home. I'm going to make grilled cheese sandwiches tonight. We're going to try and light a fire, although the wood is sopping wet. And it might be hard to get it going, but we'll see what we can do. Well, if we left it sitting overnight in the kitchen, it would dry out enough to burn. I don't know. It may be hard. But that's our evening. And you know what? I should embrace it, and I will. But it's hard to give up your ideas. It's hard to give up plans. Oh, my battery's running low, so I'm gonna add a quick note. So I've done most of my errands. I'm in the car again. I dropped groceries off at home. I didn't get salt, driveway salt, so Grace sent me out to get driveway salt. Lots of places are sold out of it. But I have some now. It's almost 8. We're not going out, but we have lots of food. And it is going to ice up tonight. I think it's going to be very dangerous. It's not frozen yet. And that's because of something I believe I learned about in sixth grade science class called latent heat. Latent heat of evaporation, I think. Also of freezing. I think what that means, and I'm maybe a little unclear on this, is basically that water needs extra energy to undergo a phase change. So when you're sucking heat out of it, like the cold air is sucking heat out of it, it doesn't freeze instantly as soon as the surface of the water turns to 32. It has to be pulled below 32 for a little while to get out some extra calories of heat energy and convince the water to form its crystalline form. And I used to know that number, like what the latent heat of evaporation I think was. And was it, I don't know if it's called the latent heat of freezing, I can't remember. But I used to know that stuff. Anyway, but that's what's keeping. In other words, it's cold. The air is cold enough outside that the surface of the parking lots and streets ought to be frozen, but it's not yet. But it will be, and so I'm in that little grace period caused by the latent heat. Anyway, that's probably really boring for you. Maybe these aren't interesting at all. It's not, who knows? I'm going to go home, and we're going to salt our driveway and burn down the house and drive the women and children before us and hear the screams of our enemies or something. Good night.